after the message we're going to be hearing from Mrs. Horn, and just wanted to get ready. Amen. We thank God for every one of you. We thank God for His grace. Thank you, Angel. We praise God for knowing that the Lord is real and that Jesus will fix it after a while. Amen. I want to invite your attention today as we look at Daniel chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, turn there. While you're turning there, we do ask that you pray for our members. The Lord would bless them. We had Trustee Long to lost his mother, Ms. Aurelia Long, and ask that you pray for the family. We have members in the hospital, ask that you pray for them. Trustee Melvin Barrow, that you pray for them, and other loved ones have lost, other church members have lost loved ones, so we ask that you pray for them. I think Maddie lost her aunt, so we ask that you keep the family in prayer and know that God is real. I had a card that I wanted to read while you're turning to that passage, Daniel chapter 3. And this is from Margie Lewis. She thanks the church for all acts of kindness and thoughts and prayers during the passing of her grandson, Tychorius. So we ask that you keep the family in prayer. Amen. Daniel chapter 3, very familiar passage, but we're going to do something a little bit different with that today. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Look at somebody that said, "I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to bend." Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to share with you just a brief thought today as we look at the subject, making sense of crazy situation. Crazy situations. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your amazing love. We ask that you would use us for your glory. Praying, God, that someone would receive a breakthrough today in their lives, that someone would be filled with the Spirit, that someone would be loosed from that spirit of bitterness, of anger, and of anxiety. God, I thank you that you're in the saving business. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise. Bless us now in our time together that it might be time well spent to honor and give glory to your name. We ask it in the precious name of your son, Jesus, and for his sake. Amen, amen. And amen. Crazy situations. As individuals, all of us, hopefully, we'll strive to live just a normal life. We just want things to be normal. We want to have a sense of peace of mind. You want to go to work, come home, have a good meal, enjoy a good night's sleep. Just normal, just normal. But every now and then, things are not normal. We can understand it if it were just a regular course of events. You know, you feel bad one day, you can understand that. But when you have a sudden tragedy or an event or confusion for no apparent reason, you've got to say to yourself, this is crazy. Why is this happening now, and why is it happening to me? I go to church, I pray, I try to do what's right. I try to treat everybody right, but everybody don't treat me right. Crazy. I know some of you probably are thinking that I'm talking about the political environment that we're living in. I'm not. It could be a health situation. It could be a fact that the bank made a mistake and what they thought, or what they thought was $4,000, was really $40,000. Just crazy. The good news today is to always know that God is in complete control all the time. There's not a moment in life that you will wake up and you will hear God said, I wasn't planning on that. I told you last Sunday, he's planned everything that's going on. He knows these circumstances. He knows the situation. And how do you know, while you're trying to get to a place of safety and normalcy in your life, how do you know that God did not bring you to that moment that you're now being challenged to grow you in your faith? Amen. Your God loves you, but he also knows what you can be. He also knows what you can do. He knows what you have in you because he put it in you. And he also knows that only through that circumstances will you be able to exercise those spiritual muscles and grow to become the full measure of what God had planned for you. You thought, that being normal is just to be yourself. I'm just trying to be myself. But in God's economy, in God's mind, the way that God looks at things, he sees you in the likeness of Jesus Christ. I told y'all the story when I was growing up as a youngster. I've always been what you might call it short. We called it vertically challenged. And so I would look on the back of these magazines. They'd have this guy on there called Charles Atlas. And he was flexing his muscles. And I said, I'm going to be like Charles Atlas. I can't be tall, but I can have some muscles. I ordered the kit. I went through the routine. Did everything they were telling me to do, but guess what? When I looked in the mirror, I was not Charles Atlas. What am I trying to say? Something different is happening in your life. God is bringing you to a moment now where he wants to develop you, where he wants to shape you, so that your faith can stand up against crazy stuff. You would be a champion in your faith. And you can say, you know what? I was weak, but now I'm strong. I was blind, but now I see. God showed me something through what I went through. Matter of fact, some of you can say today, God showed me something. I didn't want it. I didn't ask for it. As a matter of fact, when it came, I prayed against it. But guess what? I'm much better off now than I was before I went through my trial. That's what God can do. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, I'm going to call their names because those were the names they were given by their parents, not by the name that the pagan king called them. They might call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but their name was Hananiah, which was the representation of God. Mishael, the L standing for God. Azariah, the I standing for God. But all of a sudden, they find themselves in this pagan nation being renamed. Even if somehow folks nickname you by what you did. But you got to remember who you are. Don't let the circumstance identify you. You allow God to have his way in your life, and he will tell you who you are. I don't know everything, but I know one thing. I'm a child of God. Can anybody say amen to that? They woke up one morning, and all of a sudden they had an invitation. Come out to the plain of Dura. We're going to have this dedication of this golden image. Nebuchadnezzar commanded it. Said, y'all got to show up. Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. You got to show up. So all the king's horses and all the king's men showed up on the plains of Dura. Anybody who was in the who's who in Babylon showed up. Command was at the sound of the music. Dun, 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 dun. You got to bow down. Everything was going fine. Until three stood up. And you know, folks, they can't wait to tell on somebody else. We don't have that. We don't. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about other folk, other places. We don't do that here. Run and tell. And they went and told the king, you got three that you have appointed over the affairs of Babylon, and they're not bending. They're not bowing. And the king said, is that so? So they brought them to the king. And you know the story. I'm not rehearsing the story because I got something else to tell you. The king said, now, let me get this clear. You're not bowing down to my image that I have built and to the gods that I have served. And thus you have the reply. They said, we don't need to defend ourselves. I wonder what would happen if you were put on the line right there. You know what? A lot of us, we would probably do say, well, I'll just bow my head. Because I got arthritis in my knees. And I'll just bow my head. They didn't compromise. They said, we will not. We will not. What I'm telling you, don't give in. No matter what is pressuring you, no matter what is coming against you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You better believe that today. You better believe it. God didn't bring you this far to lead you now. So you don't need to abandon your faith just because it's not popular. The thing I thought about, and I get it to the message today, is the fact that sometimes these problems, sometimes these issues in life are really opportunities. They're really opportunities. There are ways that God can, amen, develop us, to help us, make us strong. As I stated earlier, God's opportunities are often disguised as difficult or crazy or strange situations. Look at your own life right now. You probably got some difficult things that are going on that you can't figure out, and you say to yourself, this makes no sense. God could be using that to instill something in you or to show you something that you had never seen before and actually to perform the miraculous. But now, here's what I want to say. Don't wait until your house catches fire to buy insurance. You know, and they got this thing now where you can buy insurance on your car. Don't wait till your car breaks down and decide you want to buy that auto repair stuff insurance. You got to get it before the loss. You got to make sure that you are covered. And what I'm here to tell you today is that through Christ, All of us are covered by the blood of the Lamb. There's not a thing that anybody can do to you anywhere without God's prior approval. In the medical realm, you have this thing called a pre-approved authorization. Well, I'm telling you, you've been pre-approved by God. That no matter what you go through, if you go through the fire, God's going to be with you. If you go through the flood, the Lord's going to make a way somehow. If you have to climb the mountain, guess what? You can even climb the rough side of the mountain because God is a way maker. And you got to believe that today. How would you handle? How would you get ready if you knew there was a fiery furnace? Now, I'm going to make a couple of assumptions here. One assumption is that, number one, it took some time to build that idol and to place it in the plain of Dura. It at least took a couple of weeks or even months to do that because the thing was 90 feet tall. You don't make that in a day. They had to get the gold, melt the gold down, and shape it up, and then set it up, all of that. All while that time of that construction of that golden image, I'm here to tell you that Daniel, that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were preparing themselves. They knew what was going on. Why? They were wise men. They were trained to be wise. They were trained to look at things and not just to say, well, okay, I'm going to wait till it happens. They prepared ahead of time. And what I'm telling you is what I tell myself. You need to prepare ahead of time. Amen. You got to get coverage ahead of time. You knew that you were getting old. Or you should have known. Your hair don't turn gray for nothing. Your teeth don't come out for nothing. I get it. You can go to the dentist and get more. I got implants. So do I. But guess what? It ain't taking care of the rest of this body. If you know these things, then why not prepare for them? And that's what I'm going to hinge on today, is that these three understood the threat that was coming their way. And because they understood the threat, here are the things that they hinged on. Here are the declarations that they made. Number one, we are not careful. In other words, we don't have to defend ourselves. Now, why is that? Because God's grace is so amazing that wherever you go, you got the grace of God working in your life. Touch yourself and say, I got the grace of God. I've got the grace of God. They knew that. When did they know it? Before they came up to that furnace. Before they answered the king. They said, we don't have to defend ourselves. Here's what happens to most of us when we get in trouble in life, or especially if we're opposed by people. We want to bristle up and fight somebody. How you know you're not fighting the wrong one? See, that's what's wrong with us. We get crazy because life is crazy. And we hit innocent people because we're mad. You can't wait till that emergency comes. And then you decide, here's what I'm going to do. You got to prepare ahead of time. Second declaration they made, they said, our God is what? Y'all said a mighty prayer. He's able. You've got to shout it from the mountaintop. Hundreds of people, perhaps even thousands of people, were on the plain of Dura that day. And what did they say? Our God is able. You call that confidence. You call that confidence. That's why we sung a song earlier, the Lord will make a way. Somehow, you don't know how he's going to make it, but all you know is he's going to make a way. Let me just ask this question. Let me take a pop quiz right now. How many of you can say, he made a way for me? You just passed your quiz. You just got 100, as the old folks say. Because when you have that level of confidence, when you have that knowledge of knowing that God is able, everything else is just secondary. everything else you face, amen, it might give you some irritation, it might cause you some minor problem, but you're going to make it. Why? Because your God is able. The strength does not come from you. The assurance does not come from you. It comes from the God who loves you. That's what I'm trying to tell you today. Amen. Third declaration. But if not, there were some troops that had been sent out to war during World War II. Back in those days, you didn't have cell phones, so they had to use the old-fashioned radio, and they had broken signals, but they said, in the broken signals, they said, now, our supplies are running low. We have a lot of our troops that have been wounded, and some have even died. We need help, and we are asking that you send us help. But then he concluded with those words, but if not, which was a way of saying, I still believe. Let me tell you what Job said. Though he slay me, I'm still going to trust him. How many of y'all have served God so long that you wouldn't know what else to do if you wasn't serving God? Do I have some witnesses in here? How many of you on Sunday morning, well, if I don't go to church, I'm lost? I know a whole lot of folks, I ain't got no problem not going to church. I'll just turn over and watch the clock. I listen to it. Yes, Lord. But if not, that's a sign of true faith. He said, we will not serve your gods nor your image that you've set up. Three declarations, and I'm going to break it down, and then I'm going to take my seat. But I want you to understand that no matter what test you're going through in life, the devil is trying to get you to confess something that is false and something that will cause you to give in to craziness. But if you want to keep your spiritual sanity, you need to say, we don't have to defend ourselves. Number two, our God is able. But number three, if he doesn't do what I want him to do, he's still God and everything is all right. That's what I'm trying to get over to you. That's the point that I'm trying to make to you. And that is that before they came to the fiery furnace, it wasn't just a pop question in their mind. It wasn't just a remote answer that they gave. They had pronounced this even before they got to that fiery furnace. And what I'm telling you, before you get in the fire, know what you believe and know whom you have believed in. That's all I'm trying to say. I could go and take my seat, but you know me, I'm going to just run my mouth just a little bit longer. You hold on and I'll be there. Amen. I gave some things the other week where I talked about four things, four aspects when you pray. I believe that these young men had prayed. They had dedicated time to God in prayer, and they knew that God would answer their prayer. When you get on your knees, don't doubt whether he's going to answer you or not. He told you to pray, and if he told you to pray, guess what? He'll give you an answer. Might not be what you want to hear, but he'll give you an answer. First thing about prayer is seclusion. Get alone with God. Shut the problem out of your mind. Say, I'll get back to that later. I need to get into the presence of God. How many times have you run to God saying, Lord, I got this problem? Leave the problem where it is. You get alone with God and watch him touch your heart. Amen. Which is bigger, the problem or your God? If your God is greater, if your God is bigger, then focus on him. And I guarantee you, when you leave his presence and go back to that need or go back to that crazy situation, it's not going to look like what it did before you prayed. Are y'all in the building? When they prayed, they focused on who God was. They had a lot of scripture to go back on. I want to tell you that when Jesus did anything, he would always pray to his Father. You have the same daddy in heaven that Jesus did. And that same God in heaven will work in your life the same way. Because Jesus said, you can use my name. If you go to God and pray in my name and you get alone with the Father, you can use my name. And God will give you exactly what you need. How many of y'all can do that? Amen? Amen. The second thing is separation. You got to come out of the world. You got to come out of that distressed mind. You got to free yourself from the things that's holding you down and talk to God like you know him. We had candidates that came up this morning, the Harris brothers, and they were introduced to a living God. You got a living God. Can I go back and tell you what my grandma said? He walks with me. And he talks with me. And guess what? I'm not the only one that he talks to. He talks to you. He will tell you the direction that you need to take in your time of need. Don't get stressed out by the stuff that's in the world. It's always been happening. You didn't see it, but it was always happening. Now it's just on a bigger screen. Hallelujah, somebody. Third thing about prayer is sacrifice. You want something from God, but guess what? God wants something from you. You know, it's interesting that Nebuchadnezzar knew about a whole lot of gods, but he didn't know the real God. Isn't that something? So what Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what they found out is that God wanted a way to introduce himself. It was like the Lord was saying, I'm going to get you boys to introduce me to this king. He doesn't know me, but I want him to know me. Now, y'all hold on. Y'all hold on just a second because this thing gets good here. This thing gets good here. Do you not know that God had so many options? God could have come down and caused a rainstorm and put the fire out. He could have. Write that down. He could have. You know. In your life, God could move the mountain, or he could give you strength to climb it. God could have. Look at somebody and say, God could have. He could have if he wanted to. Yeah, and the other thing I find out about it is Rebecca, when I think about the goodness of God, God could have come down, caused an earthquake. And that would have tore up everything. Whole event would have been canceled. But God said, no, I don't want to introduce myself that way. I don't want to introduce myself as somebody who comes down and destroys this man because I want him to believe. Are y'all in the building? So what God said, I'm going to let him put you in the fire. I'm going to let them know that his children won't change if they got to go through the fire. I wish I could preach to somebody here. See, life is not going to be easy for you. Sometimes your way is going to get hard. Sometimes you're going to have to pray late in the midnight hour. But if you know that you serve a way maker God, if you know that you serve an all-powerful God, the old folks say he can make a way out of no way. God said, I want to introduce myself. I just want this man to know who I am. I want him to know it in a way that he can recognize me. Oh, can I preach here? And notice what the scripture said, that they took them, tied their hands, bound them up so like in the fire, you're going to get out yourself, huh? But that's what people will try to do to you. They'll try to tie your hand. They'll try to gag you. They'll try to do everything they can to keep you from testifying to the goodness of God. But watch God. God could have said, no, I'm not going to let y'all go through it. But God was not at the door keeping them out of the fire. God was in the fire. The stuff you don't want to go in. The things you don't want to face. God said, I'm in here inviting you to come because I want you to know I can make a way even if there is no way. Somebody shout yes up in here. Watch. Now, but God says, I want you to sacrifice. Now, what Nebuchadnezzar thought, I'm going to sacrifice you to my fire and my gods. But no, they had already belonged to God. They had already said to themselves, you changed our name, but you can't change our faith. People can call you what they want to.
Amen. They can talk about you anytime they want to, but they can't change what's going on in the inside of you. They can't change what God has blessed you with, because guess what? He brought you this far by faith, and he will take you every step of the way. Somebody shout yes in here. They had to recognize. Oh, I feel my help coming on here. They had to recognize that the Lord was God, but they got prepared. They were prepared. And so the last thing is strength. Somehow they had read in the Bible where you, if you are weak, God will make you strong. They had gone back to the Old Testament scripture where it says in Psalm, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. If you want to be strong, if you want to be made able, then put your hands in the able God and watch him make you strong. Stuff that you thought you never could make it through. Lord, if this happened to me, I don't know what I know what you're going to do. You're going to put your trust in God. He brought you this far. He took you this far. And he'll take you every step of the way. I'm about to close now. Some of y'all need to hear that. About to close. Write it down. About to close. So they threw him in the fire. The Lord, they threw them in the fire. And God said, now I get to introduce myself. They threw in three. But something happened, David. Something happened, Freddie. Something happened, William. When they threw him in the fire, that fourth man. Notice, it wasn't just Shadrach. It wasn't just Meshach. It wasn't just Abednego that noticed him. But the king said, wait a minute, bring my accountant here. Bring my accountant here. Bring my statistician here. Bring the mathematician here. Bring those folk that know numbers and help me count this thing. We threw in three. But I see a fourth man. Good God Almighty. I see a fourth man. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you see him? Is your eye on the king? Is your eye on the Lord? Do you see him? He's your way maker. He's your burden bearer. He's your friend. Do you see him? I know you're crying. Wipe your eyes and look unto Jesus, from whence cometh your help. All of my help comes from the Lord. I said it comes from the Lord. It comes from the God. Same God that brought me this far, gonna take me every step of the way. Let me go through the fire. I'll walk through it with Jesus. The king said, wait a minute. Mathematician, who do you see? He said, king, I see four. He said, but we threw in three. How did the fourth one get added? Statistician, what do you see? What is the probability? What is the reason? What is the equation for a third one throwing in, being in the fire, and for that fourth one to be there? Tell me about it. He said, I don't know, king. I can't figure it out. You threw in three, but the fourth one came all by himself. And the king said, that fourth one, never saw him before, but I think when I look beyond that, I see he looks like. Tell somebody, say he looks like the Son of God. Here is a man that had offered nothing but to idols, but all of a sudden he looks in the fire and he sees the Son of God. Now, what I want to tell you is that if God would show up for a wicked king, how much more will he show up in your life? When you're in trouble, when you are down, when you're going through, God can make a way. God can make a way. Shout yes, somebody. Hallelujah. I'm going to my seat. I told you that 10 minutes ago. But y'all keep pushing me. And I got to talk about it. I got to talk about it because I've been in the fire sometimes. I've been in the place of worry. I've been in the place of heartache. But when I called on the name of the Lord, when I called on the name of Jesus, how many know he's a good God? How many know he's a wonderful Savior? How many know that he brought you this far and he's going to lead you on? All you got to do is trust in the Lord. Let me hurry up and close. We got to serve communion. Folks online, what in the world is going on? God showed up. Yes, he did. He showed up. He showed up. He said, now the king said, I see four men. They threw them in tired. They were bound up. Well, guess what? They broke loose. What's that song back in the day? I feel like busting loose. Come on, talk to me. You ain't been sanctified all your life. I feel like busting loose. God will show up in your life. Four things, one close here. Some takeaway points. Write these down. Number one, God knows where you are. But not only that, he's with you. Did you not know the promise that he wrote? I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's not just in the New Testament. That was in the book of Deuteronomy. Way back. God told Joshua, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Now here you are in the New Testament, accepted Christ, believe in the Messiah, believe in the promise of God, covered by the blood of the Lamb, got the Holy Spirit living in your life. That promise has been made to you. I'll not only know where you are. You know, sometimes preachers say, oh, the Lord got your address. But he ain't just got your address. He lives there. He abides with you. Second thing, I was going to the hospital the other day, and the Lord reminded me, I'm not out of miracles. And guess what? There are miracles in heaven that's got your name on it. And just waiting for you to turn that key of prayer into a key of reality. God's got your miracle. He's got mine. As a matter of fact, I used up a lot of mine. Pray. And know that he's not out of miracles for your life. Amen? Third point. God wants to do new things in your life. New stuff is going to always be strange. Always be strange. The only people that can't come up with new stuff is sometime in the retail market. They'll take clothes off the shelf, take stuff that they didn't sell, wait 10, 15 years, bring the same stuff back, put a new label on it, send it down to the cleaners, and now you think, oh, that looks so cute. Look at somebody, I said, that's old stuff. But he wants to do new things in the life of the church. We've been believing God for the ordinary. But now in these crazy times, we're needing God to do some things extraordinary. We need him to perform some new things. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had never been in the fire before. And if you would ask them, I would venture to say they would probably not want to go back in the fire. But they had went through it. Some of you now, some new things have been brought in your life, and it's crazy. You're telling God, I don't understand what you're doing. Precisely. He wants to explain it to you. He wants to tell you in that secret place of what's going on and how you're going to come out so much better if you just let him have his way. Can we do that? Can you just lift your hand and say, Lord, have your way? I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to grumble. I accept it because I believe that you love me. Oh, good God Almighty. God loves you so much. He would never do anything to harm you. He wants you to know that. That his love abides forever. The last thing, and then I promise you I'm going to my seat. This was not the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego show. This was a fourth man show. See, we get confused sometimes. We think because we're being used by God that somehow or another we're the star. And we pray prayers like, God, make me a star. I remember when I made my first album, I was thinking that we were going to sell millions of records. Guess what? Most of them my mother bought. It doesn't matter whether you become famous. What matters is that God gets the glory. A lot of our prayers are to the end, bless me, Lord. And we want to shine, and we will shine. But remember, when Nebuchadnezzar looked into that furnace, he wasn't looking at the three. He was looking at the one. Be sure that he's looking at the one who's called Jesus in your life. Amen? I'm done. We're going to serve communion. I'm going to ask Ms. Horn to come at this time. While we give the invitation, there may be some online that are listening and something that has resonated with you. Crazy situations. You're well aware that these things can happen. But are you aware that God did not bring you this far to leave you now? Amen. All you got to do is pray and ask that the Lord would be a waymaker in your life. While they're getting prepared, say this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for being with me. Even when life gets crazy, please forgive me for doubting when I should simply believe. Guide us through the trial so that your name will be praised in every situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Imitation.
Troubles of this world. done.
It's all right.
Troubles of the world, troubles of the world, troubles of this world, sooner will be done.
Been served, first of all. If you haven't, raised your hand.
I got you.
And while they're taking care of that, we're going to ask Mr. Grayson and Mr. Gabriel to come down front. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Well, y'all sharp. Man, I tell you, man, you have to let me hold them kicks now. You're looking good there, young man. What you all have done today, because see, when you was born to your mother, before they could take y'all home, they had to fill out what's called a birth certificate. Well, you've been reborn today. And what I'm about to give you is a new birth certificate. Now, the first one, your daddy had to sign it in order for him to be your daddy by law. But this one's been signed with the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And you are now his brother in Christ. And it states, certificate of baptism, the certificate, this certifies that Gabriel Alexander Harris was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost at Crossroad Baptist Church in Evanston, Virginia on February the 23rd, 2025. And it was signed by your pastor, William J. Coleman. That's that man right there. Yeah, yeah. So, Gabriel, now I want to extend to you what's called the right hand of fellowship. Now, I'm going to come down to your level because I don't want you looking up at me. I'm going to give you this. Cherish it. Matter of fact, make your daddy get a frame, put it up in the house. Amen. But I want to welcome you into the body of Christ. Because you are no longer my friend. You are my brother. You know what the Bible is, don't you? You know, you heard of GPS, right? The global positioning system. Well, this is also a GPS. And whatever you go through in life, you can go to daddy, you can go to mom. They'll tell you to pray. Sometimes they give you good advice. Sometimes they don't have the answer. But everything you need for this journey that you're about to embark upon is in this GPS. God's word will never fail you. It will lead you, it will guide you, and it will give you strength. So I give this to you. Grace, well, you look like a businessman. You're serious about it, ain't you? I'm tell y'all now, when we was in the back and I was explaining to them about what the baptism represented and what I was going to do to them, and I always try to put a little joke in there to break the ice. So, you know, I told them if I dip them down and they didn't come up, come up shouting, I'm going to stick him back in there again. Those one laugh. He was serious. He was like, I don't know about that. But now, Grayson, Avery Harris, you was baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost at Crossroad Baptist Church, Edmonton, Virginia, on February the 23rd. This is also your new birth certificate. I'm going to give this to you. And as I told your brother, whatever you go through in this life, on this earth, is in this book that will give you guidance, that will give you hope, and it will give you strength to make it through whatever life throws at you. This is the only map you need to get you where God is going to take you. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to hold on to it a minute. Now I want to give you what's called the right hand of fellowship. Because you are now a brother of mine in Christ Jesus. And I want y'all both to know that whatever you go through, Christ is with you. He got you. He gonna protect you. And you can call on either one of us. You see all these men? Look at that. But that's the one you stand on. Right there. But we all here for you. To help you in this walk. Because we're not gonna let you fail. Amen. Amen. And the brethren are going to come and give you the right hand of fellowship. And I'm going to give this to your mama.
Thank you.
Let's now prepare to partake in the Lord's Supper. Has everyone been saved? Amen. You know, I was getting ready to apologize for the way I'm feeling. I don't need to defend myself. And the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and broke it, and he blessed it, and he told his disciples, "This is my body." He told them to eat it. Let us do likewise. Same manner he took the cup, and as he blessed it, he told them, "This represents my blood, the New Testament." And he told them, as he blessed it, he said, "Drink ye all of it. Let us do likewise." The Bible said they got up. So they went out to the Mount of Olives. Son of him. That's everyone listening. That's Brother Joe Wilson to come close us out in prayer.
Father, we thank you today because you've been so good. Witnessing, oh God, these two young souls who've come forward and have made a profession of faith. We do pray, dear God, that each and every one of us will recognize that they are part of us right now. And therefore, Lord, we want to extend, oh God, the hand of fellowship to them, and their parents. And we pray, dear God, that we'll be able to respond to their needs every available opportunity that you have given to us. We also want to thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to participate in giving the offering, oh God, that we're about to receive. Those, oh God, even who are able to give outside of this congregation, we pray and we ask, oh God, that you bless it. Bless it so that many more souls will hear the word of God and come to know him as their personal Savior. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this opportunity. And thank you, oh God, for the message today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let the church say amen.